All right. Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of Essential Workers. I'm Mike Wiskoski. And today I thought, because of some recent releases of documentaries and a lot of discussions happening, I thought I would cover the subject of spirituality, specifically as it relates to UFO disclosure and the subjects which are mystical and beyond our understanding, which are just a lot of question marks for people. And there's a lot of sometimes fear associated with it, and sometimes it's religion, and sometimes it's just people not wanting to look at reality and what's been said and what's out there. And it's sometimes inconvenient to try to understand what's going on when there's so many mysterious things being reported. And like, why does it even matter to be talking about all these things when we have our own more pressing issues that seem to be affecting us, the quality of our lives, the quality of our ability to succeed in life, which could be a spiritual thing, metaphysical thing. And it could be seen by people to be a matter of technology, a matter of evolving our society to a higher position where we can have less scarcity, more abundance, and more freedom to pursue the spiritual path that we feel that we want to pursue. Although, of course, all along the journey, regardless of what we're facing, we are inevitably receiving spiritual teaching, spiritual lessons through our life circumstances. And it doesn't matter in that sense what images are in front of us. If it looks like a human telling us something spiritual that we need to be reminded, or telling us something that made us frustrated that caused us to look within for the truth, or if it's a seemingly a messenger of God, an angel that comes before us and tells us to look within, of course, the latter might have more impact on how seriously we take the message if the messenger delivers it in a way that we take that more seriously. And to some degree, we have like secondhand messengers with UFO abductees and witnesses who come forward, even near-death experiencers. We have categories of people who have interactions with something beyond and mysterious, and they come back with their own unique perspectives that's based on the experiences they had. And we have to sort of synthesize all this different information coming from different sources. And so that's why it can be more convenient for people to just brush everything aside and say, well, at least I'll go with what my pastor's saying, what my pastor believes, or some other blogger or whoever I'm currently respecting the most and their opinion. Like Joe Rogan is a fun example where he's gone back and forth on the UFO issue, and people have so much respect for him, they don't even bother researching. They just trust him. But now it's interesting that people's respect and trust for government officials has gone back and forth too on this issue, where it was almost as though there was an assumption that no matter what a politician is saying, or an elected or somebody who's been appointed to a position in the executive branch, or anybody related to the government or corporations, it's like there was a distrust because of the fact that, of course, they've been lying about this issue, the UFO issue, for decades. Why should we trust anything they're saying, especially now when there seems to be more coordinated efforts to push some kind of information that would be UFO related into the consciousness? But it's happening organically and mysteriously still, I think. And so, but we have these two major documentaries that just came out last week. We have The Age of Disclosure, which was receiving a ton of media attention. So many major media stations were having to cover and interview the director. But this is like, I feel like it's a Disclosure Project 2.0 on some level, in that they even have Disclosure Project witnesses. And that's why I also liked Stephen Greer's Unacknowledged documentary, which took just raw witness testimony and compiled it just a little bit more succinctly so that the average person could digest it without getting bored. Which is sad, but people get bored just listening to regular interviews, so they need it compressed down to bite sizes. But that's what it takes, and so the documentaries are very helpful in having the bite size sound bites of government officials, in this instance, government contractors, people who senators, lots of senators were interviewed, like Marco Rubio, and he's the secretary of state now. He's in a much higher position, so it's fascinating that This is just an upgrade of the seniority levels of people saying these kinds of things from what we ha had with the Disclosure Project, where it was not as many high-ranking people in the original witness testimonies that sparked a lot of interest in the subject for a lot of people, myself included. But it's the apparent authority that these people have that's giving this documentary credibility. And it doesn't mean that there's strong evidence being presented. It just means that our apparent trust and authority is what's being trusted to help us have new beliefs. And it's the same thing, if you haven't noticed, with Christians and the Bible. If they can see a passage in the Bible as saying something about angels that suggests they are not incarnated physical humans or something, they're not like humans, even though there's many, many things that just outline how much like humans angels have been. There's Hebrews 13:2 says that be careful how you treat strangers, because you might be entertaining angels. You might be having to show hospitality to angels, not realizing you're dealing with an angel because it looks just like a human. This is in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis and Judges, and the New Testament and in Hebrews. And although the New Testament is less in that direction overall, because there's always special attributes assigned to these beings. But my point of bringing this up is that there's just a ton of mystery around this subject, and people like to dismiss it based on authority figures without diving for themselves into the details of the stories. And if you just trust what you've heard from some apologetics website, you can't trust anything you read about UFOs. Maybe all the apologetics websites would say, don't go in the direction of the New Age, because that's where apparently people have a freedom to share their stories to a much greater extent. They don't have to line up. Although there are many interesting stories that, some good Christian podcasters have allowed to be shared. It's like there's always been like a level of setting the line where this is theologically shaky, therefore we don't want to listen to that story. We're going to place our authority in the scriptures, therefore we can only hear these people's stories. But there's always a gray area in the middle. But the question of authority, I think, is one that the UFOs are ultimately trying to undercut, because they do contact average people, and they do try to get witnesses who are very credible to the average population, who are not necessarily looking very credible in the eyes of the scientific and elite classes of our society. And you could say that there's some kind of wisdom there that we need to recognize that everyone can be a messenger, everyone can have the message. And this is obviously bringing me back to the subject of angels. And it's humorous that you have like David Wilcock coming out saying when he's on Ancient Aliens, they would not let him talk about angels. They would not let him use that word. He was drawing the connection all throughout his life between angels and extraterrestrials. He was visited in his dreams, and he had this strong feeling around it. And he had many, many forms of guidance, many forms of information coming to him. And you also have the streaming network Gaia, which Dave Wilcock was working with for many, many years. And I spoke with the founder of Gaia, and one of the things I learned directly from him was their unwillingness to deal with religion, anything resembling religion, on their networks. It can be a controversial thing, but if you're going to talk about mysterious spiritual encounters people are having, to dismiss all of the history of religion is to really miss the big picture of this. And just the word angel does not mean what kind of messenger you're dealing with. The word angel means messenger, and it doesn't clarify this is a human who is living on a different planet, a human who's living under the ocean, somebody who looks like a human because they have the ability to appear as a human, And they're not actually physically flesh, but there are countless examples in the Bible of people having physical interactions with even touch of angels. And there's no question that there's a belief in modern fundamentalist Christian circles that angels can be indistinguishable from humans at a minimum. So it's but there's a hesitancy to admit that the angels could be actually more like people, and that they're flesh and blood, and that they have existence somewhere else besides the surface of the planet, that they might be residing somewhere else and coming here for some purpose. That is, clearly, if you even go beyond a little bit beyond the Bible, and you look into all the different subjects of the show Ancient Aliens, basically, you end up seeing that there's religious categories strongly tied to these beings who have been helping people. It's just that in the recent era, there clearly has not been this kind of interaction between beings that would be known to be not human or not like a regular human. But the broader picture here is that there is a message that the messengers are delivering, and the fact that this would all be wrapped around the subject of a messenger with a message is alone a strong hint that the reason that UFOs are interacting with us, as the law of one says, it was designed to inspire a sense of mystery, at least the positive ones. There's still agendas for fear, and this is also like why Stephen Greer is like boycotting the Age of Disclosure documentary, because of the idea that if you're teaching that there's wars in the heavens, there's wars in space between different kinds of negative beings and positive beings. And maybe even our government now is having to be involved in things with not necessarily positive agendas. And I know there's mixed agendas, and this is even supported by the Law of One books, in that there are clearly positive and negative groups out in space in that text. But the idea is also clear that there are some groups which are not that advanced to have chosen a path, a polarity, one way or the other, and they can still come here. And in all innocence, they're allowed through the quarantine in some cases, but it's unclear how many other beings which are shouldn't be classified as having a definitely positive or definitely negative agenda that are here. It's unclear how many there are, but that is the overwhelming theme of like the Bible, and the Law of One books put more emphasis on the groups that are having an agenda, in the sense that they would prefer that humans grow. They have a preference that there be growth in one or the other direction, growth towards love of others and growth towards the philosophy of love of self, which then allows for control, manipulation, and expansion of an empire. And that's kind of what we already see happening on Earth in many ways, is that there is division between people who want control and people who want to step back from the system and say, this isn't working. We need to rethink this, and we need to do things differently, where we're not just giving all the control to the people behind the scenes who are wanting to hoard as much power as they can and take away our ability to have the freedoms that we desire. And so I would say that we don't have to have fear that what's happening in space is the same as what's happening on Earth, even if it is the same. The Law of One talks also about the thought war, that there's the negative who is depleted only through failure to manipulate, the positive who is depleted only through failure to accept that which is given. This is happening on the levels just beyond our sight of real physical entities described in this material, who are engaged in simply offering thoughts, simply trying to shift our consciousness more in one or the other direction, and it's balanced for the purposes of our own growth. It's balanced. There's always a balancing act, so that each individual is empowered to make their own decision. It's not that there's an authority coming over and saying, this is what you should be believing, this is what you have to believe, because we're telling you this is the truth, and this is the way everyone should be believing. We have to have freedom in the midst of appearing like we're slaves on Earth. We still have to have freedom to make up our own minds about what path we're choosing in our own growth process, because that the desire to choose has to be fostered for the choice to be made with the strength of will, necessary for evolution to be occurring. If we were just taken care of, we turn into the couch potato archetype, and we're just zombies, and there needs to be a reason for people to care, to get up off the couch and become more interested in evolving, growing, working through problems that aren't yet worked through in their lives, and in the process of working out our issues, we're growing in the ways that allow the harvest of the planet to be ripe. But there are very few harvesters working, and there are very few people who are aware of the fact that this is a time of harvest, that we have to do the work to make sure that the souls of humans on this planet are reaching their fullest potential right now. And that's really the point of the weirdness of all this that's going on the planet, is pushing people past their comfort zones, pushing people to break their habits of zombification, and find the spark of faith or divinity that attracts them to seek the light, to seek something above them and beyond themselves. And certainly the UFO subject, for me and for many people, has been foundational in allowing us to just have enough of a question mark. What was I missing? I want to find out. What was that little puzzle piece that I never properly investigated? Where does that road lead? And it doesn't lead to trust in any particular authority. It leads to questions of what's going on within us. What is this all about? What is this for? Why am I here? And is there a message that's being delivered that I should be listening to, and maybe even adopting and becoming a messenger of that message, and remain humble in the process, as Ra says, that they require themselves to be called only a humble messenger of the loved one, although they seem to have more authority in many respects in the way that they spoke. Their manner of speaking revealed an intelligence beyond anything that I've seen any human come up with, any other source of material. But I could share some other interesting details now. And also, it's appropriate to share Corey Good is not an authority in this sense, and that he's even being forced to re-question everything in his reality. And it's like we're given the information so that we can use it to piece together that which we need to grow and expand our awareness. And if that means throwing out our assumptions, that's great. We can continuously re-question where our spiritual foundations are, because that has to be the foundation that we're laying to begin pursuing what matters in every other aspect of our lives. Why are we pursuing changes on any political level or any personal level if we haven't figured out why we're making changes? And that's the spiritual side of it. Why are we really having a desire to make changes? But I thought one other area that I could touch on would be just basically the Bible, because one of the biggest areas that these documentaries are pointing out, this evolution of human consciousness around awareness of the UAP UFO issue, is pointing out the fact that there will be huge gaps in society around how to handle the information that's coming out, how to face this. And it would seem that the biggest stumbling block for a lot of people is still the Bible, with people not even knowing what's in the Bible. And this is partly why I would recommend people, if they have not ever heard of Michael Heiser, to read something like his starting work, The Unseen Realm, that explains the basics of some of what I'm about to share with you right now. But he has his own very, very fundamentalist Christian interpretations and boxes on everything, which are fair, but comforting for a lot of people. But he doesn't have the answers. He has questions, just like everyone. One of the funniest things is, you know, that he talks about in his books, and that many theologians have had to debate about, is some passages which talk about in the Old Testament, which talk about the angel of God, the angel of Yahweh, and the angel of Yahweh. I'm going to pull up the. We have Exodus. We have angel of Yahweh described in a few different places. Zechariah, and Well, the basic thing is that when the angel of Yahweh is being described as an entity that people are interacting with, the scriptures were often switched back and forth between saying God is speaking, Yahweh is directly speaking to the person, and the angel of Yahweh is speaking to the person. So this usually gets translated to say God is having a conversation with the person, but the scriptures will say that the angel of God and God are speaking to the person as though these are the same conversation. And this of course, forces us to say this is the role of the messenger is to be a transparent communication mechanism to speak with God, to God, receive the message directly from God. These are messengers of God that are described in scripture, at least, that have the message so clearly from the voice of God that they are seen as indistinguishable from hearing directly from God. This is my interpretation. You can read other people's interpretations of this, but it's a very common thing to see in the scripture that doesn't get very much attention. But these beings are often lumped together. There's all kind of beings that are talked about. There's the a very very awesome Psalm 82 reference to the Elohim, and I could pull this up easier. So the word Elohim actually has like different markings around it, around the two different ways it's used. In Psalm 82, it starts out saying, "You are gods, all of you, sons of the Most High." I said, "You are gods, all of you, sons of the Most High." The very first verse starts out saying that the Elohim was standing in the midst of the Elohim. The first one was the singular Elohim because of the markings, even though Elohim is technically a word that means plural. This is God in the singular Elohim standing in the midst of the plural Elohim. This doesn't mean that there is more than one God. This means that the author chose to use possibly poetic language in describing Elohim as being a kind of category of being, which is beyond us. And this is easy for Michael Heiser to say these are non-physical beings in some spiritual dimension. But then it goes on to explain how these beings have been given authority over different regions. It's almost like they're political figures. And so that's why the primary interpretation, the majority of Christian interpretation I've seen around Psalm 82 is that this is actually talking about people being called Elohim. But that is not actually very clear. There's nothing clear about that. And when you look at all the other references to the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim, the Elohim are discussed with different variations on the language that clue you into the fact that the Elohim are being talked about as essentially angels, essentially these beings who are coming to Earth. And the strongest connection is the to physical beings would be like the fallen angels, the idea of these beings who came to mate with women. That are one of the weirdest things in scripture, is that there's apparently this inbreeding between humanity and angels, and that alone should clue you in a little bit. If fallen angels are causing their genetics to become part of our genetics, does that really sound like a heavenly spiritual being, or does that sound like a person? That's a weird one. But the Bible is full of references of angels acting just like people. And Psalm 82 is just one of the weirdest examples where if especially if you review Michael Heiser's work, you can see he'll break down the Hebrew scriptures one by one. You can see how weird it is to for anyone to have thought that Psalm 82 is talking about regular people, is talking about some other kind of being, which is more on the level of God. And yet, Psalm 82 is a rebuke of these beings and for the shoddy job they were doing in helping humanity, which is a fascinating thing that would be just nestled right in the middle of the Psalms, a rebuke of the angelic class for how poorly they were stewarding over humanity. That's getting into a lot of UFO mythology kind of sounding lore. Corey Good has talked about the genetic farmer races being scolded basically for the shoddy work they were doing in maintaining opportunities for people to grow, because they each had their own agenda in their work. And he said the genetic programs were almost in competition with each other. There's so many different projects going on, and this is not far off from other. If you step beyond Corey's testimony, this is not far off from what government witnesses have said. This is roughly related to what Linda Moulton Howe was shown by a government document that shaped her beliefs completely. Of course, everyone trusts different sources, and but like I said, this is so prevalent, this idea. Of course, it's talked about in the Law of One Books too, the idea that even the Yahweh entity was involved in making a more stronger class of humans, and genetically stronger and more intelligent, and this was intended to be used so that people would have a stronger understanding of spiritual principles, stronger understanding of oneness and the value of compassion. And they used their strength and intelligence against the will of the intentions of the Yahweh entity, and they enslaved others with their intelligence. They became more the elite class, and that's the recurring issue with people on this planet, is that they become distorted, twisted in their thinking, tricked into thinking, into becoming more interested in control than in acceptance. And so this is why there's had to be a backing off of the angels, according to the Law of One books. The Confederation is what they call them, not angels, but there had to be a backing away. But they always talk about these beings appearing to people as though they're like angels. It's like it's indistinguishable. When you're just trying to help someone along, how do you want to appear to them? If appearances are helpful to catalyze people in the direction of feeling awakened, feeling the need to take on their mission and take it more seriously. But these entities are back off because of the fact that humanity is continuously being tricked, and it was almost impossible to predict. They were said that they were naive. Many times in the Law of One books, it says the Confederation entities were being naive and not knowing how people were going to be tricked into turning everything, twisting everything to the negative. And this is obviously hilariously patterned in the Old Testament. It's a story of calamity after calamity of people not taking a hint and honoring the ways that are more spiritual. And it's repeated across all of our history in all cultures. We are falling on our face again and again. And the question is, what can wake us up? What can allow us to take the teachings of Jesus more seriously? What would be the wake-up call that could cause Christians specifically to take the teachings of Jesus more seriously, rather than just trusting that they've been saved? They believe all that stuff, that's fine. They're going to go back to the couch now and watch TV. What would allow you to take the need for praying, the need for inner work, meditate on scriptures if you have to, find a way to get closer into what we're really here for, and why, and how we can be awakened, enlivened into a mission and a purpose that will actually be seen as radiant, a shining light on a hill, not hidden, honoring and revealing the love and forgiveness of Christ to everyone, that kind of thing. I've been rambling for a half hour. Thanks for listening. I had so much more I want to talk about, but this is like I could go in for hours and hours on the theological stuff if I was better organized. And it's fun. It's fun to read the Michael Heiser books. He does not take into account verses like Hebrews 13:2 very well, where I said that it talks about the angels being present. You don't even know it. You don't even know that there's angels around you, because he's leaving question marks for a lot of things. But at least he's addressing things, and it's very hard because you have to like research Hebrew for your life's work. And so it is helpful to have authorities that are theologians. If you're really placing your authority in scripture, try to go back to the original text and study the Hebrew, understand the Hebrew, understand the Greek, and you can get a sense of just how far off the mainstream culture is from the real teachings in the ancient texts. That is still useful. But of course, doing your own work and figuring out what you're being shown, what you're being taught, that's what this is all about. And if you're not being pointed in that direction by the authority figures or the authority scriptures that you're referring to, if you're not being pointed in the direction of what matters most in your life, then you may be doing yourself a disservice by being distracted by all the words that are being thrown around on issues which are ultimately mysterious, so mysterious that it's almost as though the point is not to get to the bottom of this through other people, but to get to the bottom of this in our own hearts and find the truth without needing these external authorities. So thank you for listening. I hope to do this more in the future, and I'll have more guests on soon to